This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
It's great to be with you. Let's go. Let's do this. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX on a gorgeous day. What a beautiful day it is in St. Louis. Yesterday was a little rainy, a little foggy, a little gray, but it was a great day to be a college football fan, that's for sure, especially if you're a Mizzou fan. That was a terrific come-from-behind win that shouldn't have been. I mean, they were up 16-9. I was there last night. It's 16-9. First of all, they mess up on a point after with a 5-yard penalty, moves them back, and then they miss the PAT. So now it's 16-9, and you give the other sideline a little life, but still, it's middle of the fourth quarter. The defense has been holding them all day. You hold them to 3 field goals. Field goals aren't going to win these games. And you go home, right? No, Oklahoma ties the game. Then Oklahoma gets a scoop and score, fumble recovery for a touchdown. And before you know it, it's 23-16 Sooners with 2 minutes to go. And you got to be thinking, what in the world is going on here? I mean, this cannot be. And Drew Pine is the quarterback. And somehow, some way, as Drew Pine has been receiving criticism, and I'd say more so the Mizzou team has been receiving criticism, and Pine has not been able to move this offense as well as Brady Cook, and that's just reality. He comes alive with a tremendous drive and brings the team down the field, hits Theo Weiss for his second connection to Theo. He has 3 touchdown passes in the game. And suddenly they are tied and we're going to overtime. There's about a minute to go. Sooners get the ball. They've got a chance to stop the clock. They're moving the ball a little bit. And then their quarterback gets stripped. It's unbelievable. I know that Chris Gervino, who is the sideline reporter for the radio broadcast, said that Oklahoma could be ripe for a turnover here. They have been turning it over. They have been horrendous, really, to his point, turning the ball over. But he called it. And they turn the ball over. The quarterback, Jackson Arnold, gets stripped of the ball. Zion Young scoops it up, runs it back for a touchdown. And Missouri takes a 30-23 lead and closes it out. I mean, it's just one of those crazy things that happens in college football where you go from what are you going to say about this Missouri team moving forward to, oh my gosh, they pulled out another one. And maybe that is the identity of this Missouri team. You know, we've all been kind of struggling for who is Mizzou? I mean, what are they? They were considered and thought to be and expected to be a top 10 team. Eli Drinkwitz has told us all year, I do not care what people say, what the narrative is about our team, what they want us to be, how they shape us, what they think we're supposed to be. We're a good football team. And that's what I care about, is this team. And a lot of coaches say that, but he really does mean it. And I think that all of us are kind of in the same boat, coach included. None of us had a handle really on who Missouri is. But now I think we've found out who they are. They're a gritty football team that pulls games out, that finds ways. Not a perfect team. Very flawed. But they're 7-2. Their losses are at Texas A&M and Alabama. Now, they were blowout, non-competitive losses, and it looked pretty bad. But they have two losses in an SEC that has two lost teams everywhere. They're going to need a miracle to make the college football playoff. Let's just be clear about that. They just don't have the schedule. You know, they don't have signature wins. The soft schedule that they had compared to some others worked against them in that respect, where they needed to go win at A&M. And they probably weren't going to win at Alabama, but they were, you know, a 34-0 loss didn't help them. But they're 7-2. Folks, if I were to tell you that Missouri in the last 2 years, if Missouri ends up running the table here, and they're going to have to go down to a very hot South Carolina team and win. But if I were to tell you that Missouri would go 21-4, and let's add a bowl game to that, and they win it somehow, that they go 22-4. Let's say they don't win it. They're 21-5 over 2 years. Would you take that? I think you'd take it. And I think it's a program that is on the rise, that Drinkwitz has actually elevated the expectation level of Missouri. He might not love it that, you know, everybody expects him to win games and win them big, but he's raised that level himself. He's raised funds to go into the stadium that they're renovating. He's raised funds that go into NIL. He's raised the level of the roster. He's raised Missouri's level in the top 25. I mean, everything to me actually does point up for Mizzou, even with the two losses and how disappointing it was based on their expectation level of making the playoff. The reality of college football is it's very, very hard to win football games today. Most of these teams, aside from my alma mater, Indiana's 10-0, but it's hard to win. It's hard to win football games. Unless you're Oregon, Indiana, there's a couple others. But look at BYU. I mean, they barely beat Utah last night against a rival. Georgia loses to Ole Miss 28-10. Miami loses to Georgia Tech 28-23. It's just happening over and over again that these games are so hard. It is so hard to win at this level, the parity of college football at this point, that 7-2 with a chance to go 10-2, maybe not make a playoff game, but play in a pretty respectable bowl to go 11-2 back-to-back years is really, really good. In fact, I think 10-2 is a phenomenal season for the University of Missouri, even with the two losses that you have to hang on. That are hung on you at A&M and LSU. But going back to who is Missouri, Missouri's a team that finds a way to win. And while we haven't seen them fire on all cylinders, Cook compromised, hurt for a lot of the season. Maybe they didn't tell us all about everything that was happening, but then we did find out about the ankle after the Auburn game, the incredible going to the hospital and coming back. I mean, you know, who are the Missouri Tigers? They're a team that does not give in and stays in there and wins games somehow, some way, finds a way. I think it's a nice identity to have. Now, they'll have to take it to the next level. They need a few more Luther Burdens. You know, they need a 4 or 5-star quarterback moving forward. They're going to need great, great pass rushers and really need to make sure that that offensive line is SEC caliber next year and for years to come, because that's been a problem for them. They haven't been able to block. They haven't been able to pass protect the way that they want. They didn't establish a running game this year like they had in the past. But if they can get some of those pieces internally fixed, Missouri's going to be a 9-10 win team expectation every single year with a chance to make the playoff every single year, I think. And so credit to Eli Drinkwitz for doing that and for finding a way. They found a way last night to win a game against Oklahoma. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll go through the entire top 25 college football scoreboard. We'll play a little contender pretender again to see who is really in good position here to make the playoff after what we saw yesterday. Troy Robertson will talk college basketball with me at the bottom of the hour. He's doing the Billiken game with me on TV today. We have it on radio. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr. 10:45, Andy Strickland on, oh, gosh, what the heck happened to the Blues last night conversation. That's happening at 10:45. We'll do our NFL picks at the start of the 11 o'clock hour around 11:15. John Mozeliak's coming back on the show today at 11:30. Can't wait to talk baseball with him and Bernie Miklas to wrap it all up in a nice little bow at 11:45. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX back after this.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billiken's win! Billiken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, so that's my dissertation on Mizzou football. And again, if you missed it, just a brief summary, 7-2, so far so good, 10-2, great season, and 21-4 before whatever postseason game they're playing this year would be a phenomenal run for Eli Drinkwitz in 2 years. Now, even if they don't make the playoff, I still think that it's a program that is on the rise. If you just look back a few years where they were. Missouri is going to have a big struggle making the playoff. It is what it is. Because there are a lot of teams right there in the mix. Let's go through the top 25 for you. Missouri's number 24. They won last night. For those of you just kind of coming back from yesterday and did not see the end, Oklahoma was up 23-16 in Missouri. Well, let me take it back. Oklahoma was down 16-9, scored twice, a touchdown, then a scoop and score for a touchdown. They're up 23-16. Missouri does the exact same thing back to them. A touchdown, Pine DeWeese. A touchdown, Zion Young. And a win for Missouri by a final of 30-23. It's just absurd. Oklahoma's not very good. They're 5-5, 1-5 in the SEC, but it's still Oklahoma. It's still a brand. And by the way, they were favored in the game. OU was favored by 2.5. Missouri missing Brady Cook finds a way, wins the game 30-23. All right, top 25 college football. This is just in my wheelhouse. I have so much fun with this, especially this year. And I've been saying it for like Tim Klutsaritz was our producer back in the day, and he and I worked together, James. Tim was doing exactly what you do, and we sat here in the studio in 1998 and said, why don't they do a 16-team playoff? Just take all the conference champions and then have a 7 at-larges, 9 conference champions. Set. This is before the whole Power 5 thing. 7 at-larges, let's have a 16-team playoff and go. Forget these bowl games that don't mean anything. Let's play meaningful postseason football. And I was told it'll never happen. These universities never will allow that. These kids have to study for finals. Or, you know, the old boy network of the bowls will never let it happen. Well, I'll tell you what'll let it happen is money. And the money is going to flow in on these playoffs because it's entertaining and the NFL is always going to be king, but college football TV ratings are coming in fast and furious because all these teams still think that they're in it. And that's going to make for a fascinating December of college football. Oregon is number one in the country, and I think they are a clear number one. They are the best team in the country to me. They beat Ohio State. They've beaten everybody on their schedule. They play all phases of the game very well. Dylan Gabriel is the FBS all-time touchdown leader with his pass yesterday. 39-18, they beat Maryland, which is a tough, gritty Big Ten team that kind of hangs around, but Oregon did what they have to do, and they won a Big Ten game, 39-18. Oregon plays all phases of the game very well. So does Ohio State, and that's why they fought Oregon tooth and nail up in Eugene. That's why they went to Penn State, and they won, and that's why they obliterated Purdue, which is a bad football team, 45-0 yesterday in Columbus. Number two, Ohio State rolls. Number three, Georgia. This surprised me, and I think a lot of people. Not that they lost the game necessarily. I knew it was going to be a good game, but that they got it handed to them by Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin wins the biggest game so far at Ole Miss, 28-10. 16th-ranked Rebels beat Georgia, 28-10. 10 is what Georgia was able to score on Ole Miss. You know, you think about Ole Miss, you think about high-powered offense and giving up some points and not worrying about it because you play quick. Georgia couldn't keep up with them, and Carson Beck, you have to start thinking about what you're doing there at the quarterback position. It's amazing to say that. But they got thoroughly outplayed by Ole Miss yesterday, and Georgia's going to fall in the ratings here. I don't know how far. We'll find out. Miami loses. Now, this one I did see coming. Georgia Tech is tough, and they're now 6-4, 4-3 in the ACC. They play well at home, and Miami is flawed. Miami has a lax defense. They have a playmaking quarterback who is the best player in the country, Cam Ward. But if he's not going and Georgia Tech hangs on to the ball a little bit, keeps the ball away from them, and Miami's defense has to be able to stop them, and Georgia Tech scored a touchdown in each quarter. Every single quarter they had a touchdown, and they were consistent. They played a good football game, and they beat Miami 28-23. So the fourth-ranked Hurricanes are going to fall. Texas is back. Texas is great. They're one of the best teams in the country, clear national championship contender in my eyes. They have one loss. That was to Georgia. They came out and smacked Florida yesterday 49-17, same team that Georgia struggled with last week. Texas comes out and pounds Florida. Number six, Penn State. Very good bounce back for them. After losing to Ohio State at home, they come out and they beat a big, tough, physical Washington team. Not a good Washington team, but physical. 35-6. They just manhandle them. It was just a done deal for the Nittany Lions. No problem. 35-6. Tennessee, 33-14 win over Mississippi State. Same thing. Tennessee's big, tough team. That is their new identity, I think. That they are a very, very good team. Mississippi State is at the bottom of the SEC. But Tennessee just finds ways to beat you, and they're 8-1, 5-1 in the SEC, 33-14. Their loss is to Arkansas, but they have some good wins on their resume, including over Alabama. The eighth-ranked team in the country is Indiana. Indiana's now 10-0. They beat Michigan 20-15. Again, not as good a Michigan team, defending national champions. They're now 5-5, but Michigan still has an elite defense, and they showed that, and they gave Indiana trouble in the second half. The Hoosiers have a very good defense, and now I think gets a little more national attention that they're a more balanced team. They're not just a great offensive team. They're a great team across the board, and their defense won a game for them. 20-15. They have not lost a game. They are 10-0, and they will move up in the rankings. How far, I don't know, because they have not played or beaten a ranked team, for that matter, but they're 10-0. And now the Ohio State game comes. Everybody wanted to see how they matched up against Ohio State. Got to win all those games first. Now they're 10-0. Now they get a bye week, and they can wait for Ohio State a little bit and then go in there, maybe a little loose, have some fun with it. If you lose it, it's not the end of the world. You have Purdue waiting for you the last game to get to the playoff. That's how I see it for Indiana at this point. 10-0. 7-0 in the Big Ten. What a win for them. BYU, what a win at Utah. They pull it out somehow. They're 9-0, 22-21. Over Utah, their rival. Florida State's awful. Notre Dame crushed them 52-3. Alabama crushed LSU. LSU is not awful. And Alabama just destroyed them by a final of 42-13 down in Baton Rouge. That is a terrible loss for Brian Kelly. Worst loss so far since he got down to the Bayou. And Alabama hammers LSU. Great win for them. They're back in the national championship picture. Boise State keeps doing their thing. They beat Nevada 28-21. They're 8-1. Their only loss is to Oregon. They're a very good college playoff contender right now at number 12. Kansas beats Iowa State, putting them out of their misery 45-36. Cyclones were 17. They will fall further. Virginia knocks Pittsburgh out of any playoff contention, drops them to 7-2, wins at 24-19. Virginia over Pittsburgh. Colorado's in the picture. 7-2, 5-1 in a good Big 12 conference, beat Texas Tech 41-27. Washington State's a team nobody talks about, but they're 8-1, and they beat Utah State 49-28. Clemson over Virginia Tech 24-14. Army's unbeaten, beat North Texas 14-3. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to get into some college basketball discussion with Troy Robertson. I look very much forward to that. But first, let me say a couple more things about college football, because I have a few more minutes, don't I, James, until we said we were going to take a quick break. Those are the major games, but there's so much college football being played right now. And I know that there are some people in St. Charles in particular who were listening to this college football rundown just now and said, watch, he's going to take a break and he's not going to mention us at all. You're wrong. Lindenwood pulled off a huge upset last night And I don't know how big of an upset it is as much of a huge win that it is. Lindenwood beat Southeast Missouri State 24-12. On the surface, if you don't know enough about what's going on in the OVC, and just basically in that realm, then you wouldn't know. But Southeast Missouri State is the sixth-ranked team in the FCS. They are number six. And they call this the Game Ball Brawl Trophy. And they won it at Hunter Stadium. Lindenwood beat Southeast Missouri State, the number six team in the country, 24-12. Very good defensive effort. They forced a fumble on the second play of the game. Southeast Missouri State capped off a drive to kick a field goal to go up 3-0. Then Lindenwood responded with an 8-play, 75-yard drive. After it was a 7-6 game, they took a 14-6 lead at the half. And I love their stadium, by the way. Hunter Stadium at Lindenwood is cool. It's built into a hill that looks at the campus. So you can sit on one of the end zones, and they looks like VIP seating right there below one of the campus buildings. I can imagine myself sitting up there on one of those tables, maybe having a little cocktail, and walking down to my VIP seat, looking over Hunter Stadium and watching the Lindenwood Lions. I think they've got something there. And I'm impressed with what they did. Anyway, they're up 14-6 at the half. The Lions went up 21-6 with 7:20 to play in the third quarter. Southeast cut the score to 21-12. No good on the two-point conversion, so that hurts them. Now it's a two-possession game. And Lindenwood basically does what I love. They ate up the clock. They had the ball for 11 minutes in the fourth quarter. That is a team that has my heart. Chew up the clock, move the chains. That is awesome. And they won the game over Southeast Missouri State. My apologies to my friends in Cape Girardeau for gushing about a Lindenwood win, but good for them, 24-12 over Southeast Missouri State. Jed Stugart said, I have so many emotions going through my head right now. This is a huge win. We've said all along, this isn't a rivalry until we win one. Good for them. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Some college basketball with Troy Robertson next.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. Welcome back. Tom Ackerman with you. Big day on the campus of St. Louis University. The women's soccer team plays at noon against UMass in the A-10 final. And then at 3 o'clock, it's time for Billiken basketball. SLU taking on Avila University today at Chaffetz Arena. We'll have it on KMOX. Bob Ramsey, Earl Austin Jr., 3 o'clock tip, 2:45 pregame. And for the first time, my buddy on the line here and I will be partnering on a broadcast, and that is Troy Robertson, who I've known for a long time, former Billiken, fellow MAC member, might I add, and television analyst. Good morning, Troy.
Good morning, partner. Can't wait to do this today. Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to have a good time on FanDuel Sports Network. We're going to do some TV. Tamar Scher will be our sideline reporter. Brian Shapiro, the terrific producer from the Cardinals and previously Bally Sports Midwest, now FanDuel director Nick Thompson. We got quite the crew, Troy. You ready to roll?
It's all new to me, bud, other than talking basketball. So, you know, I've downloaded the FanDuel app. I'm ready to go, ready to work with Brian and everybody else. So, you know, time to kick off some Billiken basketball.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll make it easy for you. See, all I do is take care of all the paperwork. Let me handle all the commercials and the, you know, the reads and tell you what's going on out there. And you just talk some ball. I mean, I turn it over to you. And if you know anything, it's ball. And also, you know, you played at a very high level. You played Division I basketball at St. Louis University. So that's what I always tell analysts is, you know, you see a different game than me and the viewer, might I add. So I look forward to hearing you let it rip.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm the high-priced talent on this broadcast, but I'm not high-priced or that talented. But I do have an eye, so I'll try and share, you know, what I see out there and kind of the what and the why behind the decisions and, you know, maybe give my thoughts on how these players process things at the speed at which they do and kind of what why they do what they do. So look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well. And what do you see with the Billikens? So far, they've played Santa Clara, and I think, Troy, one of the best teams that they'll face in a while, actually, and a very, maybe the tallest team that they'll face all season. How do you think, and we'll talk about Robbie Avila in just a minute, but just overall, how do you think they performed in that game?
I mean, you know, disappointing to lose a close game against a quality opponent. We don't have, St. Louis University doesn't have a ton of high profile, high quality non-conference games. So you really wanted to capitalize on the opportunity in a game you could have won with just one possession with, you know, a minute to go. And I think that what hurt them in that game, which is something I'm going to watch for this year, is just the overall athleticism. I think our team is very skilled. We have a lot of skill guys with Isaiah Swope and Gibson Jimerson at the top of the list, and, of course, Robbie. But I wonder, against some real physical, you know, NCAA tournament-type teams, can we keep up with the athleticism? And I know what Coach Schertz is working on now, you know, full speed, and he has been since June, is their reads and their efficiency and the way in which they play helps counter any lack of athleticism. But in order to do that effectively, you have to master the system. And we're not there yet. He's still in teaching mode. He's still in what he calls processing mode, almost like a computer. It's just not running at the speed at which you'd want it to yet. And that goes to the decision-making, when to do switch on defense, when to stay, when to get through things, and then all the reads on offense. So, you know, over the next month, can he get them up to speed so that they're as ready as possible when you get into a little bit more of the heart of the schedule?
Yeah, that makes sense. How do you describe the offense to someone? If you were trying to describe that system, what do you see?
It's a read-based system. So for so many of us that grew up playing basketball, you know, you come down the court and coach says, run play X, and everybody goes to their spots and then runs the play accordingly. His is much different, especially when Robbie's healthy. They all have their spots in which to start, but then once the pass is made to initiate whatever offense, or whether it's a ball screen, everything else is a read based on the defense. So if they're high, you go here. If they're overplaying you, you cut. If you pass away, you do this. And so it's not really a play per se. It's kind of more motion and read based. And that means literally it's almost like a quarterback in football. Every time it's snaps, the quarterback, a really good one, sees where the open guy is. Even if it's not the play he really wants, like a downhill downfield throw, there's usually an open guy. And that's kind of how SLU's offense is. You hope to get a three here or a three there or get a layup or a dunk. But really, it's about what the defense gives you and then making the proper read and then executing that read.
And Robbie Avila is the best at it. He has been playing for Josh Schertz for a while at Indiana State, and he gets it. He is injured. He's going to be out for a little while. The initial diagnosis was the sprain would be 2 weeks. We'll see how long that does take. Can they get away with him not being in there? I guess my question is, he's not the only one that it has to read those cutters. Everybody sort of has to play that style. How do you see that without him?
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, again, not to use my analogy of the QB, but you are kind of to your backup quarterback from the sense that they call it the trigger man, and Robbie's the best trigger man that Coach Schertz has ever seen, and they kind of think alike, read alike. So normally he trails the play, and he's at the top of the key, and he can catch the ball and kind of make all the right reads and the right passes. So they'll have to adjust. You'll see a lot more of Isaiah Swope and ball screens. And you'll see a lot more of, you know, intentional looks for Gibson. Probably a little bit more post offense oriented with Kalu Anya down low. So they're going to kind of have to play a hybrid, if you will. They'll still play the same system. They're just going to have to take a few plays out of the playbook because nobody can quite do it like Robbie.
Avila University is an NAIA school. It's interesting, isn't it, how Robbie Avila plays Avila. Actually, as it turns out, he doesn't play Avila. But Josh Schertz, I think, has a lot of empathy and, you know, positive feelings about these schools getting an opportunity. Of course, he was at Lincoln Memorial, coached there for a long time, had that thing absolutely rolling. He goes to Indiana State, and now here he is at SLU. From all accounts, and I've known him a little bit since, and a lot more now since he's in St. Louis, but I knew him when he was in Indiana State, is he really hasn't changed much. He's still just that deep thinker, good person that people love to be around him. What is your impression of Coach Schertz?
Yeah, I think you hit it spot on. My impression is he takes basketball very, very seriously, and that's about it. He's a very self-deprecating guy. He's laid back. He's funny. I mean, he can, you know, make fun of himself. I don't think he takes a whole lot. You know, some of these coaches just walk around and they're intense from the second they wake up and just are on full grind mode. That's not really him. He's more of a teacher. He's more trying to implement his system so the guys can, it almost runs itself if he teaches it the right way. And then I think what you said is really important. I mean, 12 years in Division II means you've taken a lot of bad bus trips. And you've taken, you know, you've done a lot of things with the managers yourself. And his wife, Natalia, is just awesome. And they've had to run to Jimmy John's and get food. And, you know, I mean, you just kind of grind your way through it. And so I think he has a humility for understanding the process. And I think he's very grateful to be here. And it's a good fit. I think it's a match made in heaven. And that always sounds good, you know, before you really get in the meat of your schedule. But I think if he can win here and win big, I think it's a great, great match.
It's a great start to the season just to get everybody in Chaffetz Arena and get it going. Of course, you'd love for it to be with Robbie, but in time, that will happen. And SLU will, I believe, start to gain some attention. But you got to start somewhere, and that somewhere will be at 3 o'clock today at home after the loss to Santa Clara up in South Dakota. They'll be hosting Avila University. Troy Robertson will have the call with me on TV. Bob Ramsey and Earl Austin Jr. will have it. A couple of Hall of Famers right there, Troy.
We're only 30. I think it's Rammer's 39th year. So we're only 38 behind. But we'll, you know, we can start. We got to start somewhere.
We got a ways to go. Appreciate you. Can't wait to catch up with you down courtside today.
All right, I'll see you in a few hours, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to it. Troy Robertson with us on KMOX. We'll be on FanDuel Sports Network today. Coming up next from that very network, Andy Strickland talks some Blues hockey with us on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Sports on a Sunday morning continues. Good to be with you. What a gorgeous day it is outside here in downtown St. Louis. And the sun came up another day for the St. Louis Blues. After getting blasted last night, 8-1 by the Capitals, they need something to go their way. And that is a beautiful day. They also had some nice uniforms, Andy Strickland. That's about it. The FanDuel Sports Network analyst and reporter joins us now. It's great to have you. How are you?
Couldn't be better, Tommy, although we've seen better days. Listen, at least the sun is up, like you said. You know, you turn the page, you hope to forget about that one. I don't remember the last time we saw a game like that on home ice. Unfortunately, we've seen a couple of those games already this season, but the first one at home, that was tough to watch.
Yeah, I just don't understand it. Maybe you can explain it a little bit more to me. Now, what I kept telling people was you're going to have to grow with this team, learn and understand that it's going to be a roller coaster type season. But there are some times where they're just non-competitive, Andy, and that is cause for concern. I mean, 8-1 is 8-1.
Yeah, 8-1 is 8-1. And listen, Washington's gotten off to a great start. They're playing with a ton of confidence right now. And, you know, Alexander Ovechkin has really galvanized that team. You know, talking to a couple of the players yesterday from Washington, I mean, they're all rallying around this whole chase for Wayne Gretzky's record. You know, this guy gets two more yesterday. Tom, now he's 31 shy from passing Gretzky. I mean, could he do it this year? And what are these numbers going to look like when it's all said and done? I mean, he's going to get to 900. Will he get to 1,000 goals? I mean, what is his stat line going to look like in the record book once he hangs them up? I mean, this guy can still play at a high level. He can shoot the puck as well as anybody in the league. He knows how to find the open spots, and other players around him know how to get him the puck. You know, their power play had been terrible. It looked a little better yesterday when you look at Washington. You know, so Heritage Night, the uniforms for the Blues. Binnington didn't have his best game. And you're right. Listen, they're trying to find that identity. A bunch of different players, you know, kind of coming into the mix, you know, to begin the season. And I really felt like coming into the year was, hey, it's going to take some time. And what was it going to look like? You know, who's going to be able to play with who? Is this guy a center? Is this guy a winger? And how is it all going to come together? And, you know, then you get hit by the injury bug, right? That makes things a little bit difficult when you don't have your best player in Robert Thomas. Philip Broberg on the back end obviously got off to a great start, and he's one of your best players. So you don't have them, but you've been able to beat some good teams like Toronto and Tampa Bay without those guys in your lineup. But for me, it comes down to effort. The effort wasn't good enough yesterday, specifically in the third period. I mean, they went into the third period. It was a 3-1 game. So it was right there for them to get a goal and jump right back into it and get the crowd behind them on a Saturday night. You got these early starts, the crowd's into it. And it just didn't happen. I mean, they just got absolutely destroyed in that third period.
Yeah, and whoever was still hanging around booed them as they skated off the ice. Andy Strickland is with us, always has done such a great job breaking this team down, and you know these players as well as anybody. I just wonder, how many games have they gotten away with Jordan Binnington being great? Do you see it that way? I mean, have they won some games because of him? And on nights where, you know, he's not going to be as sharp, they're going to lose the game? I mean, is that part of it as well?
No, I think it's a great point, and I 100% agree with you. Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to be their best player. I think he is their best player. You know, I said Robert Thomas a few minutes ago, and obviously he's your best skater. But, you know, Jordan Binnington is he's one of those guys that can really cover up a lot of your mistakes and a lot of your deficiencies. You know, you look at the youth you have on your third pair on your back end right now. And I shouldn't even say youth when it comes to Scotty Perunovic, because I think he's 26 years old, but he's young in terms of game experience with the injuries he's dealt with. But he scored his first career NHL goal yesterday, so that was a positive. But Matthew Kessel's still trying to find his way. Because of the injuries, you know, you've got, you know, P.O. Joseph sliding up the lineup. He's not a top four defenseman. He was minus four in yesterday's game. I think that's the second time this season he's been a dash four in a game. You can't have that in the NHL. But again, he's playing extended minutes, and they're trying to stretch him as much as they possibly can without having a guy like Broberg in the lineup. And people forget that Torrey Krug's out of the lineup as well. Listen, I know there's been some negativity surrounding Torrey Krug, but you'd love to have a guy like him with his experience and his ability to play the NHL game in the lineup right now. Obviously, you're not going to have him. But Binnington, listen, and Joel Hofer too. Hofer's had some real strong games this year as well. You know, he got the start in that game in Ottawa, so obviously that's one game you want to throw out the window. But there's been other games where he has been the best player on the ice, and he has made some saves that have probably covered up some mistakes and allowed the team to at least get a point, or in some cases, 2 points and win the game. But Binnington, you know, he has that ability, and he's the one guy, Tom, I don't worry about Jordan Binnington. Like, he'll shake this off. He'll come back. He'll be ready to play. This guy's a true pro, and he still has his eyes set on, you know, making that Team Canada Four Nations roster too. He's got something to play for. And they still have something to play for in terms of getting this team back on track. Listen, I know internally the thought process after Jordan Robert Thomas went down was to keep this team right around 500. If you can be a game or two above 500 when Thomas comes back, and you know he expects to be back before Christmas time, for those who are wondering, then they feel like maybe they're going to be in good position to potentially get this thing together and really compete for a playoff spot and hang around and at least play meaningful games down the stretch. I think that's what you want if you're a Blues fan. You know, make the games matter as you get into late March and certainly into April. But you got to win your games at home, and you can't get pounded at home. Boston's coming to town on Tuesday, Tom. They lost last night in overtime. I think they had 16 shots on goal in that game. They're an average team right now. They're fighting it. There's a lot of rumors and a lot of rumblings surrounding that team in regards to their head coach and some other issues. You know, he's had, you know, some battles on the bench with some of their star players. So to me, that's a winnable game on Tuesday. If they can go 3-2 on this homestand, at least they'll be feeling somewhat confident when they hit the road back again.
Yeah, I hear you. If they could just get through that first minute. I mean, when Utah scored in the first 20 seconds or whatever, and last night Washington scores just about a minute into the game, it just takes all the air out of the building, you know?
It does. And, well, that's what happened in the Ottawa game, too. And I hate to keep going back to that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they scored on the first shot of the game in that one. Utah scores on the first shot of the game, both of those against Joel Hofer. You look at last night. And listen, I got to be honest with you. Binnington, as great as he's been all season, he was not very good last night. And it's not just because they let in 8 goals. The team did hang them out to dry, and they weren't very good in front of them. The effort is just not at the NHL level in terms of what you expect from these guys in the third period. But, you know, you look at the Chychrun goal, you know, that's probably a shot that he wants to have back. I mean, there were some goals early in the game that, you know, you don't typically see scored on Jordan Binnington, specifically from distance. He's able to track the puck as well as anybody in the league. So, again, that's one of those maybe you throw out the window. But then the team just completely, you know, hung him out to dry. And the Blues have plenty of chances in the second period. I mean, you look at Bolduc, who hasn't scored a goal this season yet. He's a former first-round pick. They need this guy to get going. He has a breakaway in the game. He doesn't score. Brandon Saad hasn't scored in like 10 or 11 games. He had a grade A chance. Braden Schenn, the captain of the team, hasn't scored since the second game of the season, Tom, in San Jose. He gets a grade A chance every game, and he's just completely snake bit right now. So, and Buchnevich, you know, they slide him back to the wing yesterday, and I know so much has been made out of him playing center. Maybe you thought getting him back on the wing was going to help him, you know, get some confidence. He had a couple of assists in the game against Utah, some nice assists. And you thought maybe that would jumpstart his game offensively. He's got like one goal in the last 10 or 11, and that was an empty netter against Toronto. So you look at the players that you count on to put the puck in the net right now. You know, Texier, who comes over, and they expected big things from him. He's a healthy scratch last night. So you hope to get guys like Matthew Joseph back. You got Kapanen back. And I know that doesn't excite the fans a ton, but these are NHL players who can skate at the NHL level. They bring some speed. They bring a role to the lineup. You get these guys back, it's certainly going to help. But they've got too many players right now who are not, you know, executing or, you know, accomplishing much offensively. And you need these guys to score and chip in.
No, you're absolutely right. And I will end with a positive here. The Blues' best player, well, this isn't positive. Their best player, I think, this season has been Philip Broberg, but now he's injured. But I am impressed with the scoring of Jordan Kyrou. And for that matter, he not only leads the team in goals, Andy, but he leads them in assists as well. And I know that he had that first great game. But if he can score at a consistent level, that's great in his personal development.
Yeah, and not just that, but he's been a plus player all season. Now, he was plus two coming into last night's game. I didn't even look to see what his plus minus was. I mean, it could be scary, Tom. You might have to tell me what his plus minus was in last night's game. So maybe he's at an even if he was minus one.
He was minus one.
Because I don't think they had a forward that was more than minus two last night. They had some defensemen. This Suter was minus three. I want to say P.O. Joseph was minus four in the game, but and somehow Perunovic and Kessel. It's always interesting, Tom, when you get blown out and you get the one or two players that are plus in the game, you know? Perunovic and Kessel end up being on the plus side yesterday. But Kyrou, listen, he can score. He's dynamic. He's had some bad luck. He turned the puck over again last night, Tom, and the puck ended up in the back of the net. You look at the turnover. I thought that was an inexcusable one against Utah. You listen, all you had to do is get the puck in deeper, hang on to it. And as they say in football, live to see another down, and maybe you can get a point and see what happens in overtime. I don't blame him on the turnover against Philadelphia a few games ago. That puck just jumped on him. That happens. That was a hell of a defensive play by the defender for Washington yesterday, who was able to strip the puck from him. I apologize. The name escapes me. He did it. But they went down and scored, so he's getting some bad luck there. But Drew Bannister has said recently that he loves Jordan Kyrou's team game, and that's something that he's been working hard at. So you like seeing that. You know that he's so skilled, the offensive numbers will be there.
Andy Strickland, you always do a wonderful job, not only in the radio with us and around town, but on FanDuel Sports Network Midwest, and we appreciate you. Thanks for everything and future endeavors on the Blues broadcast. We look forward to it.
All right, Tom. You know, I appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure to be back on KMOX.
Always great to have Andy Strickland on the station. We will take a quick break, come back, sports on a Sunday morning after the 11 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Green Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Green Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Yes, indeed. We have our NFL picks coming up here momentarily. That'll happen at 11:15. Just a quick run through of what's going on in sports. So a busy day in downtown St. Louis. Three different sporting events that I'm aware of. If you want to add some to the list, go right ahead. But I know that St. Louis University has two of them and that City Park has the other one, soon to be Energizer Park. So there is a game going on at City Park at noon, the Big Ten tournament final for the women's soccer. It's UCLA against Rutgers. UCLA, one of the great programs in America, taking on a very good Rutgers team. And UCLA was able to get through its first game by beating Washington. USC was knocked off by Rutgers in the first game of the Big Ten Women's Tournament. The final is happening at City Park. Now, just up the road at Herman Stadium, Katie Shields is going to put her A-10 champion for the last 6 years on the pitch. At noon, they are hoping for a packed house on a gorgeous day today for St. Louis University soccer taking on UMass. The SLU women have won six consecutive A-10 tournaments, going for number seven today. They beat St. Joseph's 2-0 to get to this final, and St. Joseph's is a team that's kind of had their number here this year, at least. They had a draw with them last time around, so they were able to get that 2-0 win. They just don't give up goals, the SLU team. I mean, I know they've got some talented women who can score, but they do not give up goals. And a 2-0 win for them sets up this game against UMass. They're going to try to win the A-10 tournament for the seventh straight time. Then at 3 o'clock, that crowd is going to make its way into Chaffetz Arena for a tip-off against Avila University. They are out of the western side of our state. And a lot of their players are from the Kansas City area, as a matter of fact. Lee Summit, Independence, Kansas City, Kansas. Avila University, they play out of NAIA, and they'll be taking on Robbie Avila's St. Louis University Billikens. Now, Avila's not going to play. He has a sprained ankle. He's going to be out at least a couple of weeks. But the Billikens do have a team that needs to work on some things coming out of the Santa Clara game, offensive rebounding, maybe more efficiency on offense, perhaps locking down on perimeter defense a little bit better. Santa Clara was getting off a lot of shots on them, but we'll see how they look. They should have an easy time with Avila, but it's a basketball game, and you play with pride, and we'll see how SLU looks today. Looking forward to hearing that on KMOX at 3 o'clock, 2:45 pregame. I'll have it on the TV side, as I mentioned, with Troy Robertson that we talked about a little while ago last hour. So three things going on right here downtown. Two big women's soccer conference finals in the same city, and then SLU playing at Chaffetz Arena. The NFL is going on. We're going to have NFL picks for you in just a little bit. That'll be coming up after the break. The Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated. They are 8-0 this season. The Chiefs are going to be playing today at noon against the Denver Broncos. That game can be heard on 97.1 FM, KFTK. That's because we are bringing you the Billikens, and they would run into each other, probably. So a 2:45 pregame for SLU today, and the Chiefs, who kick off at noon, will be playing on KFTK. We ran through the college football scoreboard for you, and it sure was an incredible day. We'll see what happens when the CFP rankings come out. Now, the AP poll is going to come out a little bit later. They're pretty close to each other. I was impressed, actually, how aligned they were with each other But that said, the AP poll does not matter anymore. I mean, you can read it, hear about it all you want. Rankings don't matter. All that matters is the college football playoff rankings at the end, because these games are just going to be crazy. Yesterday, Georgia losing to Ole Miss, Miami losing to Georgia Tech, and other teams starting to creep back into it, like Alabama handing it to LSU. It's just an embarrassing loss for LSU. They're out. Alabama's now back in the picture. It is hard to win in college football, so if you are able to win convincingly, it's just another feather in your cap, and that is what Alabama has done here. A BYU survived by beating their rival Utah. A lot of controversy about the officiating in that one. There's just all kinds of stuff going on right now in college football, and it is a lot of fun. On that, though, officiating's got to be good in these great games, and the Utah athletic director, Mark Harlan, is not pleased. He actually blasted the Big 12 officiating crew after the game. The athletic director, not the coach, the AD. Controversial calls on the Cougars' winning drive 22-21 over the Utes. Harlan took the podium shortly before the players and the coach arrived to address the media. That's how upset, that's how hot he was. He said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get on the podium before the players and coach come. And he gets there, said the game was stolen, and said that he will take his complaints to the Big 12 commissioner. Utah appeared to have stopped BYU twice on fourth down on the final drive. Both times, the play was wiped out by officials, and the Cougars moved down the field and kicked the winning field goal with 4 seconds to play. And Utah is not having it. They are not pleased whatsoever. Find that interesting, of course. On the topic of football, we're going to go right into it with our NFL picks. We're going to take a break, come back with that. Then after we do our picks, we'll break again. We'll tell you what's coming up in other sports as well. Then at 11:30, John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations, will be with us. Looking forward to having him back. A lot of questions for him. 11:45, Bernie Miklas, like he only can, wrapping up everything for us and touching on a number of subjects to finish off sports on a Sunday morning. We're here until noon. We're in downtown St. Louis. It's a beautiful day. Stay with us. Back after this.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
And a key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Yes, the great offensive lineman, Tom Ackerman. One day we will meet. We will spend time. We'll talk about being Tom Ackerman's. And he'll tell me great stories about opening holes for Robert Holcomb and Eddie George. Welcome back to the show. Tom Ackerman, the broadcaster, with you. It is time for our NFL picks. Our producer is James O'Sullivan. James, I've been pretty good on these picks. Last week, I was 2 games over .500, I think, was what we decided, 8-6. It's not terrible. The week before that, I didn't make the picks on the air. I was off that weekend, so I did them on my own, and I went 6-7. That was not up to my standard. The weeks before that, really good. I mean, if you followed along, you did well. 10-3, and the week before that, 10-2-1 against the spread. So we'll see if I can get back to a 10-win week. This is week 10 in the NFL, and it's time to make some picks. Let's start with the game that'll be on 97.1 FM, FM Talk. KFTK will be carrying the Chiefs and the Broncos today. You know, Kansas City is 8-0. Did you know that they have actually won 14 straight games going back to last season? That is crazy in the NFL. That does not happen. The last team to do that, actually, I'll bet no one will get this right. Who's the last team to go 14-0? Carolina in 2015. I know. Carolina is the worst team in the NFL. However, they're winning right now. Carolina's beating the Giants right now, 17-14 with 3:33 to go in a game that is being played in Munich. That's right. It's getting down to the wire in Germany. Carolina leads the Giants 17-14 with 3:33 to go. But back to the Chiefs. They have won 14 in a row. Big matchup here against the Denver Broncos, a team that I think is going to be better and better and better as Sean Payton continues to coach them. But not today. The Chiefs are going to be playing at Arrowhead Stadium. They're a 7-point favorite, and I like them to cover, even though I hate that big number, especially they're kind of eking out games. But they're due to win a game decisively, and I think they do that today against the Broncos on a beautiful day in front of their packed house. Chiefs minus 7. Let's go with the Bears and the Patriots. What a terrible game. That's going to be very, very low scoring. If you were doing overs, and I don't do that here, but it's 37 is the over-under. I'd take the under. But the spread is 6.5. Bears are 6.5-point favorites at home against the Patriots. I will take it. I'll go Bears minus 6.5, but I don't love it. The other game today at noon is Buffalo and Indianapolis. Now, this is interesting. The Bills are hot right now, although they barely got by Miami, much to my surprise. I thought Buffalo was going to blow up Miami. I should have consulted with Scott Jago, our news anchor, who's a Bills fan, who told me he knew that it was going to be a tough game. I should have listened to him before I went out here telling you to take the Bills and give the points. This time around, I'm telling you to not give the points. I think you take the Colts plus 4.5 at home against the Bills today. Colts plus 4.5 is what I've got. Bills might win it by a field goal, but I got Colts plus 4.5. Atlanta at New Orleans. The Falcons are a 3.5-point favorite on the road against the Saints. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to take the Saints. I'm going to take the Falcons minus 3.5. The Falcons are 3-0 on the road this year against the spread. Pretty good road team against the spread. San Francisco at Tampa Bay. The Niners finally get Christian McCaffrey. He's officially listed as questionable, but he has not played a game yet. Number one pick in my fantasy draft by me. So he's been sitting on my bench for 9 weeks. Let's go. Let's go. And let's take the 49ers minus 6.5 at Tampa Bay, especially if he plays, but I assume that he's going to play. I think they win by a touchdown at Tampa Bay. Bucs are pretty good. They took the Chiefs to overtime last week in a hard-fought game. I will go 49ers minus 6.5 in that game. Pittsburgh at Washington. I'm in love with this Commanders team. I don't even have to look, but I will. Commanders minus 1 all day long. Give me. I know the Steelers are playing well. I know that. But the Commanders are on fire, man. They're 4-0 against the spread at home. They're minus 1 today at home. Give me the Washington Commanders. Minnesota at Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence is going to miss the second game of his NFL career. The Jaguars, according to the AP, have no plans to announce his status until 90 minutes before kickoff. We have reached that point, and Lawrence isn't going to play. So the Vikings at Jacksonville, a 7-point favorite. I'm going to go ahead with that. Give me the Vikings minus 7. Also today, these are the afternoon games. Tennessee at the Chargers. I like the Chargers at home, but 8 points is too many. Give me the Titans plus 8 at LA today against the Chargers. The other afternoon game, Philadelphia at Dallas. The Cowboys are brutal. They are playing at home. They do have a 7-point spread lined up in this one in Vegas. I'll go with the Eagles minus 7. I just don't believe in the Cowboys right now. I think they are a disaster. And Dak Prescott, by the way, is out and will be out for a long time. Jets at Arizona. The Cardinals are starting to play some ball here. This is a desperate Jets team. They're 3-6, and they are about to be on the outs. I think this Cardinals team doesn't get a ton of respect. I'm going to give them some today. They're an underdog at home against a 3-6 Aaron Rodgers-led Jets team. Give me Arizona plus 1.5, please. Thank you. Detroit at Houston is the Sunday night game. Best team in the NFC is Detroit. They are steamrolling people, and they are not apologizing for it. They're a 3-point favorite on the road at Houston. I am so tempted to take the Texans plus 3 at home on a Sunday night, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna go Lions minus 3 on Sunday night football against the Houston Texans. And then finally, the Miami Dolphins are visiting the Los Angeles Rams on Monday night football. It's a 1.5 spread. LA is a 1.5-point favorite against the Dolphins. I just got finished telling you that I thought the Dolphins surprised me with how they played against the Bills, and I'm going to try to ride that today. These teams are going in opposite directions. I get that. The Rams have won 3 in a row, and the Dolphins have lost 3 in a row. But the Dolphins have lost those 3 in a row by a combined 10 points. Combined. And Tua has been outstanding. Tua Tagovailoa. He's completed 80% of his passes with 3 touchdowns and no interceptions in the past 2 games. I will take the Dolphins. Plus 1.5. On the road, which doesn't mean anything when you play the Rams. Even Dolphins fans will crowd SoFi Stadium. You watch. Even Dolphins fans who are across the country will flood SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles today. Tomorrow night. Monday Night Football. We'll ask Joe Buck if I'm right about that after he calls it. Dolphins plus 1.5. And those are your picks. So we'll see what happens. Coming up next, we are going to visit with Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, John Mozeliak. Very much looking forward to picking his brain as to what happened at the GM meetings, what's going on with these current players, what he's looking for in Wilson Contreras playing first base, etc. It's all next. Bernie Miklas will follow him at 11:45. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
It's great to be back with you, 11:30 on this gorgeous day in downtown St. Louis. Joining us on the line is the President of Baseball Operations of the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak. How are you, Mo?
I'm doing well, Tommy. How are you?
It's great. Things are great here. Great to talk to you as always. And a big announcement about your local television rights. I want to get into that and talk about a lot of things that have happened over the last week with regard to your team, just in general. How did the GM meetings go as you were able to get back together with some of the executives and other baseball personnel?
Yeah, it's always a good time in terms of trying to get an understanding of what 29 other teams are trying to do this offseason, but also you have the ability to sit down with agents and reconnect with all of them as well. And, you know, obviously this offseason is going to be a little different for us as we really try to create some opportunity from within. And so felt like this past week we used our time well and sort of excited to see what the next month or two brings for us.
I am too. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this all shakes out. You know, I heard you loud and clear in your end of the season press conference when you noted that payroll was going to be reduced. I think the question, and a fair one, is how much. No one really seems to know the answer to that. Some things do have to still play out with the current roster, don't they?
That's correct. Obviously, you brought up the television rights situation. So getting some clarity there will be helpful as well. So that was really good news. And, you know, moving forward, I think there's still some things we'd like to see happen. And, you know, that will really end up dictating where our payroll ends up. But I think maybe the way to kind of get your head around it is simply like we're not driving to a certain number at this point. We want to see really how the roster shakes out, what opportunities may be there for us. And I think, you know, understanding what Mr. DeWitt has really given me is not something where it's just get to a certain number and, you know, that's where you are. It's, you know, what are our options, and are there things that we can do? Because, you know, we are going to want to put a product out there that we are proud of. And so trying to balance that with sort of the new paradigm of where we are from a revenue standpoint. But in the end, we're still going to look at trying to put the best club out that we can.
There is evidence of teams that have sort of changed direction, if you will, maybe in your own division. I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers traded Corbin Burns. I think the narrative was, well, Milwaukee looks like they're going to take a little step back and try to redevelop who they are, and then they go out and win the division. Does that also factor into what you do? Do you look around the league and try to pattern yourself in some ways after what teams have accomplished to get to that point?
You know, really, we're just doing a self-reflection. Obviously, you look back at what Milwaukee did. I mean, they, you know, traded away their top pitcher, but yet they still had success. I think the big thing for the Cardinals in terms of will we be good or not will be, do our young players emerge? You saw that happen with Milwaukee this past year, and obviously they made the most of it. So, you know, for us, that's going to be the key. Do we get that type of production that we envision is capable of happening? And so, you know, very hopeful in that regard. But, I mean, that's why you play the game.
Sure. And then, you know, the rest of your players, some who make a pretty hefty salary, but also some who have been around this game at a high level, and we know who they are. They've been talked about openly. Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, Nolan Arenado. Those are three biggies right there. How does that work, Mo, where you take the temperature of where they are, where you are, and how they feel about the future of the organization?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, these guys signed multi-year contracts, or we acquired them on a multi-year contract with no trades. And, you know, with the direction we're trying to head, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, if this is something that they want to be a part of, or do they want me to explore a possible exit strategy for them? So, you know, we used our time over the last couple of weeks to work through that. I think we have a pretty good idea of what that looks like now. And that's why the next month and a half will be interesting.
Well, we'll start to see some clarity there. One thing we do know is that Wilson Contreras, as you informed the media at the GM meetings, is going to play first base. Now, the more you step back and look at that, that actually makes sense. You have catchers coming. You have first base open. You have an enthusiastic athlete who can rip the baseball when he's healthy. I guess the one thing that also came with that is Wilson wants to be part of what you're doing, it sounds like.
Right. And, you know, going back to even just the end of our season, I had heard rumblings that he was starting to wonder, like, what's best for his career in terms of longevity. And so speaking with our medical team, performance team, really felt like getting him out from behind the plate would be in his best interest to stay healthy. And so when you think about his offensive upside, his athleticism, this definitely makes sense. And then this doesn't mean you'll never see Burley over at first base, because, you know, we are going to try to mix and match, but really just try to optimize this lineup on the players we have.
What do you think about Lucan Baker, how he ended last year, and kind of what's ahead for him?
You know, I think from an offensive standpoint, there is upside. But when you're looking at just pure first base, I think, you know, from a defensive standpoint, there are still some question marks there. But, you know, he's definitely an offensive threat, and, you know, not ruling anything out. Obviously, we're a long way away from opening day, and lots of things can happen.
Sure, I understand that. Your catching position is a strength in this organization. Let's talk about some of those guys. So Pedro Pages, we know, we saw, and I think people were impressed how he handled pitchers, how he protected, and how he played the position. Ivan Herrera still needs to work in that area, is my understanding, but boy, does he look like a big league hitter, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, they're a little different, right? Pages seems to be more of a defensive-minded catcher with a chance to run into some at times. So if he could get a little more consistent at the plate, that would be a good thing. Herrera, I think from a catching standpoint, it's really about just, you know, trying to add some arm strength. I think it would be a big help for him. So that'll be an off-season focus. But yeah, I think from an offensive standpoint, this guy knows how to hit. And then obviously we have Crooks coming and Bernal coming. And so, you know, we have a lot of depth at catching. And I can tell you from just my time at the GM meetings, I think I got asked about every single one of them.
So, I bet.
Not surprising.
Crooks, your minor league player of the year. Is he a balance of both? Does he do both very well, offense, defense?
You know, he's moved so quickly. I think like one of the things we got to remind ourselves of is just a little bit of patience. I do, you know, recall seeing a lot of him in spring training last year. And I thought from a defensive standpoint, probably the strongest arm we had as a catcher, but still learning sort of the ins and outs as a receiver. And that just requires time. But I think from an offensive standpoint, he really did step it up. He spent last offseason really working on trying to add some exit velocity, and it translated into more power for him. And so, you know, that was great to see. So just how quickly he's evolved has been fun to watch.
I know that last year was not where you wanted to finish, but there was one really strong point of your team, and that was bullpen. And I know there are a lot of pieces here to be moved and or at least solved here in the next few months. But how do you see your bullpen as it stands right now?
Yeah, again, it's something we got hit on a lot this past week. So, you know, just having to sort of understand what those opportunities may look like. But, you know, you said it was a strength. I mean, obviously, Hells pitched really well. JoJo was there. You know, Kit wore a lot of different hats for us in that bullpen. So, you know, right now he's a free agent. And in terms of what happens moving forward, as you know, I never talk about free agents, but, you know, clearly right now we still think it's going to be one of our strengths. And, you know, if there's something we can add to that between now and in February, that's something we'll think about.
John, the Arizona Fall League taking place. And when you traded with the Rangers and acquired Thomas Tejesi, we heard about his bat to ball skills. This certainly seems to be trending in the right direction for you. What are you hearing lately about Tejesi and what he's been able to do?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's having a fantastic fall league, and that was great to see. His walks are up, so because he's a very aggressive hitter, and I think having some level of patience will suit him well. I can imagine, though, at this point he's getting to the point of being tired. You know, the one thing about the fall league, it's a great finishing league. You think back to the last 30 years of that league, it really was guys like Tejesi that played in it that were, you know, just on the verge of being in the big leagues or had some big league experience. Whereas now it's taken a step back, in my opinion, a little bit to where it's more of a double A type league. And I think part of that's just the demand of the season and players, you know, don't really want to be playing into mid-November. They're tired. They want to recharge. They want to hit the weight room, get stronger, and be ready for spring training. And so it's great to see what Thomas has done out there, because a lot of people would have probably already pulled the plug.
I appreciate all these answers about all my questions about players. I just have one more quick one before we go, and that is Rob Serfolio, the addition to the front office. I have not talked to you about him. So what can you tell us about him, and why was he the right choice?
Really impressive guy. Obviously, over the last few weeks, I've gotten to know him a lot better than just merely an interview. But bright, energetic, has a really good feel for understanding player development. And as we spend a lot of time and energy and dollars, frankly, on what we want this to look like, it's nice to have someone that's had the experience that he has had in Cleveland and, you know, to be able to replicate some of the things that we're trying to get better at. So really like him as an addition. I think he'll fit in great, and looking forward to working with him.
Looking forward to our next conversation. Thank you as always. And I appreciate this. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful Sunday here in St. Louis.
Thank you, Tommy. You too. See ya.
John Mozeliak with us on KMOX 1142. We come back. Bernie Miklas on Sports on a Sunday Morning.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. Our visit with Bernie Miklas is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. My dear friend Bernie Miklas joins us on this Sunday morning. How are you, Bernie?
I'm doing good, man. I'm still trying to recover from a bananas, absolutely bananas day of college football. Miami getting upset by Georgia Tech, Ole Miss dominating Georgia physically in a way I haven't seen Georgia dominate in a long time. Alabama and Jalen Milroe just running absolutely wild and blowing out LSU in Baton Rouge. You got Indiana showing some real toughness by surviving a challenge from a really fired up Michigan team. BYU, and this is the one that I was up very late for, BYU stays unbeaten with a last-second field goal to win at their bitter rivals' home field at Utah. And then Mizzou, of course, with just an insane game, and they come out ahead to take down their old rival from the Big 12 days, Oklahoma.
Oh, it's nuts. So you got the Utah AD is, you know, taking the podium and saying that they got the game stolen from them and he's going to report to the Big 12 commissioner on the officiating. I mean, everybody's going absolutely nuts. I'm at the Mizzou game last night in Columbia, and what a cap to the day. First of all, I'm out there on the tailgate lots and I'm pacing because the Indiana, which had a 17-3 lead, has it trimmed all the way down to 17-15. They end up, as you said, holding them off. So I'm freaking out. I'm getting text messages from my friends. The cell service isn't good, so I'm looking for a TV on at somebody's tailgate. My head is spinning. When they win that game, I feel a lot better. And then at the end of the Mizzou game, I mean, I really felt sick to my stomach. I mean, it's 16-9. Oklahoma ties the game, takes the lead on a scoop and score, and then Missouri somehow drives down the field with Drew Pine, hits Theo Weiss for a touchdown, gets their own scoop and score against the turnover-prone Sooners and wins the game 30-23. Absolutely nuts. And I said this in the beginning of the show, Bernie, maybe we now know what Missouri's identity is. They find ways to win games even when they don't play well, because all of their games have kind of been the same. They just sort of squeak by.
No, I totally agree with you. It's kind of like they're able to master chaos. And, you know, those are most of their wins have been on the chaotic side. And unfortunately, their two losses were just total beatdowns. They lose 75-10 combined score to Alabama and Texas A&M. But they're surviving. And the thing of it is, you know, they're sitting there at 7-2, and Coach Drinkwitz has this program, you know, 18-4 in the last 22 games. And I was looking this up today. Mizzou has been ranked in 21 of the last 22 Associated Press top 25 polls. And that includes being ranked in the top 10 8 times in the last 14 weeks. So even if they don't make the playoffs, and I know Drinkwitz is actually catching some grief in the national media today because he said, hey, we're still in the playoff hunt after beating Oklahoma. Technically, they are. But even without any type of playoff, you know, performance or appearance this year, this is a great, great time for Mizzou football. He's got a lot to sell, whether they make the playoffs or not.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if they go 11-2 again, I mean, it would be a tall order. They'd have to run the table here, but they got to go to South Carolina and win. That's the huge key, obviously.
Sure, sure.
But and let's say they win a bowl game. I mean, I think it's pretty far-fetched that they make the playoff, but they are still technically, you know, mathematically involved. But let's say they go 11-2 again. Are you kidding me? 22-4 in 2 years? That's incredible.
It really is. And you brought it up and you nailed it. And the thing of it is, I'm not trying to be a grouch about the idea of them making the playoffs. I think if we go by the College Football Power Index, Mizzou's got about an 8% chance to make it. So there is a chance. But it's really there's nothing to talk about in any type of important way right now, because in 6 days – they play at South Carolina, a team that is red hot, and a team that if you look at outside the top 25 polls, if you just look at the FPI, they're ranked 14th in the country, and South Carolina is number 10 in the Sagarin ratings. If you look at what they've done in their last four, they lose by two at Alabama, and then they just absolutely destroy Oklahoma, Texas, A&M, and Vandy by an average of about 24 points. So Mizzou's actually going into a place that's South Carolina's like at this moment is one of the hottest teams in college football. If the Tigers can win there, then we have something to talk about. But until this game comes along, as Drink would say, I think he would say it's just a lot of noise until we see what happens Saturday. Right.
That's right. He doesn't listen to any of that stuff.
No, that's right.
Yeah. And I totally respect that. I like Drink in that respect. I'm going to have to see. My app is stalling on me here, but I want to see what the early spread is on that game at South Carolina. If I had to guess, I'd say South Carolina by at least 10, probably 10 to 14, somewhere in there.
But yeah, and it's weird because they don't. It's not like they have a great overall record. I mean, they're 4-3 in the SEC, for example. But we're talking about at the moment, they're just sizzlingly good. And this is going to be, as much as I was enamored and just loved the way Drew Pine came on in the second half last night. I mean, this is going to be a monstrous type of test for Mizzou, especially for their offense on the road. So, but who knows, man? They're showing some survival skills.
What an amazing night last night. I know a lot of people are buzzing about that game yesterday. Missouri and South Carolina. I know I've got it here. Let me see if I can find it real quick before I switch topic.
I can look 13 too,
and
my
a half.
Friend.
13 and a half. So
wow.
I was pretty good there. I said between 10 and 14. It's a 13 and a half point spread. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Let me wrap the final 4 minutes here on Cardinals. So I just talked to John Mozeliak. Just a quick rundown. He has had that conversation, as you know, with Wilson Contreras at first base. He's talked to his players. He left it kind of open as to what would happen here. Gray, Arenado, and of course, he's not going to talk about Helsley, but he indicated they're getting a ton of calls about their bullpen and about their catchers. Your thoughts on where the Cardinals stand currently?
You know, they have a chance. This, you know, I use the term rebuild for 2025, but I've always said it. We're not talking about a massive rebuild. We're not talking about a long and painful rebuild. It could be a moderate rebuild, and they could have a respectable 2025 season. And as time goes on, I believe that even more. And of course, we don't know what the final roster is going to be going into spring training. And a lot of it does hinge upon whether they decide to keep Ryan Helsley or they trade Ryan Helsley, because without Ryan Helsley, that opens up a potential huge vulnerability, because they put games, they put late leads away better than just about any team in baseball last season. And it's the number one reason why they won 83 games. But if you take Helsley out of there, then you're scrambling to figure out the closer situation. And that could be a challenge, to say the least. So I think a lot is dependent upon whether Helsley is a Cardinal to start 2025 or not. I love the Contreras move to first base, because you're going to improve offensively at first base, and Their second best hitter last year among players that had 250 plate appearances was Ivan Herrera. And if they play him a lot behind the plate, now you're going to have two improved positions in your lineup, first base and catcher, in terms of upgrading that offense. And I think Contreras is going to work hard. He's a man that's got immense pride. I think he's going to work really, really hard to be a solid, respectable first baseman. I know a lot of people are concerned about that, and I get it, because Goldschmidt was really good defensively. But sometimes you have to put a premium on offense, especially after the way that team struggled offensively in 2024.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. We're going to have the Gas House Gang. We're going to expand on this conversation tomorrow at noon. The four of us will be back together. Matt Pauly, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman. We're on the KMOX Sports social media channels, KMOX News as well, KMOX's YouTube page. You'll subscribe to KMOX Sports YouTube. I know that, just to get those rolling. You can also hear them in podcast form, and you can see them again at KMOX.com. Bernie, you are on YouTube. How is that been going? I know you said you wanted to re-engage and post even more videos and get things rolling on your Bernie Show YouTube page, which is a must subscribe.
It's been going well, and I appreciate you, you know, letting me talk about it just a second here. You know, I'm trying to think, and if I take a second to look this up, and I know I'm on limited time, but if you look at some of the goals I had for this, I was hoping to get to 5,000 subscribers over the first 3 or 4 months, but I'm closing in on 7,000. I've got a tremendous number of views for all my videos, and it's mostly Cardinal stuff, but I do mix in some Blues and Mizzou. So the audience has been great. They've made this thing a lot of fun for me to do, and I'm very thankful and appreciative for all the support. So people can find that at youtube.com/@TheBernieShow.
His last post was Cardinals must motivate the fans. So you'll have to click on that for sure, and you'll have to watch us tomorrow at noon. And I appreciate you, pal. Thanks for the visit.
We'll talk tomorrow. Tom, can't wait. I should say blah, 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 blah. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, buddy. Bernie Miklas on KMOX.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.